I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. This weekend, the streets of Burlington will be flooded with runners and spectators in town for the 30th year of the Vermont City Marathon. Among the 8,000 competitors on Sunday will be running royalty, Olympic silver medalist and winner of both the New York and Boston Marathons, Meb Keflezighi. So famous and beloved, he's known simply by his first name. Meb will be taking part in various festivities over the weekend and will run on a relay team with four other athletes. We caught up with him, metaphorically speaking only, yesterday, a few days before he makes his way here. And I asked him if this was his first visit to Vermont.
Yes, it is my first time, sadly to say, but I heard it's a beautiful, beautiful. Every time I tell people I'm going to Vermont, I'm like, oh, it should be the best part of the year right now. So I'm looking forward to it. So it should be fun.
How did you get convinced to come and be a part of the Vermont City Marathon this year?
Well, my brother and manager, Howie, is the one that deals with the beginning of the stuff. Somebody approached him from the Vermont City Marathon, and he agreed to how can we do. But what I love about it is the relay, and the relay. In fact, I was here traveling somewhere, maybe Las Vegas or San Antonio, and somebody said, hey, I'm going to be on your team. And I'm like, I know it's going to be a relay, but what distance, how we run, is going to be interesting. But I'm excited for the People's United Bank Vermont City Marathon to have a team called the MEB team. And I read the articles and the essay the people wrote. It's so touching, and they have overcome so many obstacles and challenges in life. But Ryan seems to be the one that's kind of uniting us no matter what challenge or background we have. And looking forward to meeting them in person, but I feel like I already know them through reading their bios.
Yeah, this is a pretty wonderful thing if you read their bios. You're going to be part of a 5-member relay team, and the 4 teammates were chosen because they have inspirational stories and in many cases have really overcome tremendous obstacles to be able to run in this relay. One woman lost her leg to cancer. 2 people were in car accidents and were not sure they'd ever be able to run again. And then one of them is just 11 years old. Her name is Rukia, and she came to Vermont as a refugee from Somalia. So are you hoping to have a little time to talk with these people, or is it just going to be all business, time to run?
No. I wish I want to meet them ASAP. I want to give them a hug and be able to chat with them about their stories because, I mean, I equally get inspired by them on how they have overcome this obstacle from, Jackie, like you said, for the cancer, Maxwell accident, been in a 10-day full coma, and then Brooke, who's a team manager and eventually runs and never thought they could be able to do that and to be able to just fighting to stay alive in her life, where she put it. And then Rukia, an immigrant who is hope and family from Somalia, that new beginning and new, like my life journey started. So I'm inspired, equally inspired by them and looking forward to be on the team and get to know them a little bit. And, if they have any questions for me, we'd love to talk to them. But in their own right, they had their inspiration to many others, people as well, including myself.
You were born in Eritrea, and like Rukia, as you said, you arrived in the United States as a refugee, and you didn't start running until middle school in California. How quickly did you realize that you were really, really fast?
Well, we came here in 1987, over 30 years ago now, and we came here with new hope that education is the key to life, is what our parents told us, and we want to make our parents proud, and we want to get A, whatever the class was, whether it was history, math, English, or physical education class, and my PE teacher, Duke Lord, said, if you run hard, I'm going to give A or B to the whole class. And I wanted to get a T-shirt, and I wanted to get A in the class, and just took off. And I realized I was my God-given talent was discovered in 7th grade at Roosevelt Junior High. And I ran in 5:20, and he just looked at his watch. He couldn't believe it. He goes, you're going to go to the Olympics. And I had no idea what the Olympics were because I grew up in Eritrea, like as you alluded to earlier. I didn't have electricity or running water, so definitely from the village, and kind of said, well, did I get my A? Did I get my T-shirt? And that was the most important thing for me now. And I went and asked my dad that evening, said, hey, the teacher, PE teacher, said, Olympics or something, what is it? And then I learned what the Olympics were. And then eventually, I think, getting full scholarship to UCLA, and then eventually probably I realized many of my high school teammates or classmates always said, we'll see you on TV, you're going to go to the Olympics. But I didn't believe myself, but I'm like, I didn't know about it too much. I became a student of the sport, and eventually 97 when I won NCAA titles while I was at UCLA when I said, oh, maybe this could be a profession. But before that, it was all academics. And I think most people, because I live in San Diego, most people think that I came here to be a runner and because of the weather and all that stuff. It's just my sister was living here when we immigrated, and that's the reason I ended up. But, it has worked out really well for me.
So now we know that all you need to do to motivate Meb is to offer a T-shirt at the end of the race, and that's going to do it.
Can't wait to wear that Vermont City Marathon T-shirt, really, now.
From what I'm reading, you had a really rocky first marathoning experience, though. Was this the 2002 New York City Marathon?
Yes, it was. And many people, when I was running high school, because of my stamina and my form, always thought, oh, you're going to be a beautiful marathoner. And one of my teammates' dad, Mike Anderson, is the one that he used to say that. And Ron Tabb, who was helping me on the side, said, how far is that anyways? You know, I was a miler at the time, and I'm happy to be a miler. And they said 26.2. I'm like, that's too long. And I always heard that it was an old man's sport. You know, once you lose your 5K, 10K speed, you kind of move to the marathon. But in 2002, I started my first marathon to kind of see where, if I had any talent. And I did it in New York, and I went out really hard, trained very hard, and I went for the win. And got it down to four people with a 21-mile mark. And then I said, oh, I could win it, or I could finish top three, or maybe worst scenario, fourth place. But then I figured out that imaginary wall, and I bumped and got slower and slower and slower. And I ended up getting ninth place, which is not too chubby for first time. And I ran that run to 12:35 for the marathon. But then I missed it by 35 seconds to get the qualifier for the Olympic pace standard. And I said, this is the first and last marathon I'm going to do. I never want to do this ever again. So it was a challenge. But, you know, I went back and visited my birthplace, Eritrea, 2 weeks later. And I realized, you know, that temporary discomfort that we go through when we run is nothing compared to what people have to do day in, day out, labor from sunrise to sunset. And I said, you know, I'll give it another try, and came back excited and tried to run another marathon.
As you said, you bonked in that first marathon. You hit the wall, and that's really common. Do you have advice for runners on Sunday for how to push through that? Because everybody wants to finish the marathon. Everybody's trained so hard for this, and it's a terrible feeling to realize your legs are going and to feel like you just can't make it.
Weirdest feeling ever, you know, doing the 5K, 10K, and even up to 20K, I was okay, you know, but your mind says go, but your body says no way. And when they both click, the body and the mind, it's a beautiful thing. But then the challenging aspect of it is, I think, when your body says no, you just got to try to scale back your pace and get to that finish line, because getting to the finish line is equally important, you know, and that kind of gives you an idea, okay, if I can do smart training and kind of work a little bit miles in my under my legs, that can carry me through. But in that moment, you have to just think, hey, what am I doing this for? You know it's going to hurt at one point. You just hope that it hurts at 24 or 23 miles into it versus 17 or 19. So that's what the training, the key to success is preparation. And you know, we learn from each marathon what to do, what not to do, whether it's training-wise, nutrition-wise, or just pacing-wise. Marathon is not a sprint, it's a patience, and many people sometimes get impatient. They just want to surge, and imagining what comes in a lot earlier than you anticipated if you do that. So be patient, be in the moment, get to that finish line, and think about those people like the one on my marathon relay team. They each have their challenges on overcome, and as I read it, their bios or what I have done to 2008 Olympic trials where I didn't make Olympics and had pelvic fish fracture, I couldn't walk, I can stand up, I can relate to that, to them, but on a small scale. So you don't take things for granted. So when you are challenged at mile 23 or mile 22 or mile 18, make the most of it and get to that finish line, because there's a lot of other people that wish and love to be in the position that you're in, you know, 17 miles into the run. And so enjoy every minute as much as you can. And pain is temporary, but pride forever. So get to that finish line and live to tell all about it.
Now that you're in your 40s and no longer running at the same competitive level that you used to, have you modified your training? I mean, you still are running, clearly.
As I've gotten older, I definitely had modified my training or my nutrition intakes. You know, when you are a college student or after graduating college, you can consume anything and everything, get away with it. But as you get older, you got to definitely modify your nutrition, a lot more healthier, wheat or brown rice or whole wheat pasta and things like that, versus all protein also is important to be able to recover. But also the days, 9-day cycle, whereas, you know, I know there's 7 days in a week, but to put in all the work that's necessary to be a marathoner or for the weekend warriors, they can only do it twice, you know, maybe Saturday, Sunday's there, go out and run, put a mile in, you have to spread it out a little bit. And it's okay to not push every day, not especially with the weekend warriors. You don't want to push 2 days in a row, so you have to be very careful and methodical about when you run the long runs or intervals and things like that. So we, you know, we do the best we can with the body and the age and the gender we are, you know, inherited or we worked with, and just, you know, we try to do what we can with the body we have, and that's more important. As an elite athlete, it's been great to be able to run out hard and strong and try to win for titles or times, but now also as I get late in my 40s, now is training is important, and be able to stay healthy is important, and what you put in your system and your body is also important. So those tips and hints are there.
So when you're training as a competitive runner and your goal is to win the marathon or to qualify for the Olympics and then to win an Olympic medal, when those are no longer the brass ring that you're reaching for, what motivates you now? What is the next big challenge for you? What is it that you want to accomplish now?
Well, for me, it's been a great ride to be able to be as competitive as I can, you know, from the mile all the way to the 5K, 10K, and then eventually to the marathon. And, you know, that 520 that I told you in seventh grade kind of changed that for me. I've been pursuing that for a long time, what my God-given talent is, and now I feel like that has maxed out, but I still love that healthy lifestyle, be an example to others, to be able to recreational run. You know, whether I've been in the front of the pack for a long time, but I have much more respect as well for the middle of the pack or the back of the pack, because, you know, some things come easy to us, like running, that's for me, but for school was not easy. So I can sympathize with them how hard it is, whether to lose weight or to want to finish a marathon, and never thought they could run a mile or block around the house, but then eventually become habit to them. So it's a great way to be able to exercise, kick an endorphins, and start your day or finish your day with, to be able to just say, I want to accomplish this. But I also am very driven to help with what I can, because the sport has done so much thing for me. And in return, I want to do the Med Foundation, maintain an excellent balance for health, education, fitness for young kids. Because the hard work, the commitment, the perseverance, and time management, and overcoming adversity can also teach you from running, and you could apply that to your school or to your profession or to your family. And we have 20,000, 30,000 people participate every weekend for a marathon or half marathon, and we need to encourage our kids, get them away from those smartphones and other things that are done in TVs around the house, to get them outside and exercise, because we should be able to do those things to help us be positive contributors to our society.
Well, Meb Keflezighi, good luck to you and your whole team, your whole relay team on Sunday. And thank you very much for speaking with me.
Jane, thanks for having us. And I'm looking forward to meeting my relay team and in person and being in Vermont for the Vermont City Marathon.
And the marathon begins at 7 o'clock Sunday morning from Battery Park in Burlington. The runners finish at Waterfront Park.